You're listening to Earful of Queer on CFRU 93.3 FM in Guelph, Ontario. Today we have on the show Craig Fortier, who is come on from No One Is Illegal to talk with us about Alvaro Rosco, who is a queer kid from Nicaragua who is currently being held in the Rexdale Immigration Detention Center in Toronto. And Craig is going to talk to us about the ongoing campaign and strategizing that is happening to try and make sure that Alvaro stays here in Canada instead of being deported by the Canadian state.
He's here! He's here! Let Alvaro stay! He's here! He's here!
Do you want to introduce yourself?
My name is Craig Fortier. I'm part of the Let Alvaro Stay campaign, as well as a member of No One Is Illegal in Toronto. I've known Alvaro, I guess, for the last 4 years, and, you know, been a good friend of his and worked with him in the community, and so, you know, thought it was really important to continue to build this campaign.
Cool.
So for folks out there who aren't very familiar with No One Is Illegal, can you explain what you all do?
Sure. Well, No One Is Illegal is a network of various groups. In Toronto, we're a group primarily compromised of immigrants and refugees and first-generation born people of color, allies, students, labor, and trade unionists. So a bunch of various people who really fight to maintain people's dignity and respect as migrants. We oppose Canada's immigration policies. We believe that those policies are part of a broader capitalist policy to exploit people who are coming across borders and are seeking refuge from oftentimes political decisions made by countries and companies in Canada, United States, and Western Europe that displace people in the first place. We also believe that any struggle for migrant justice cannot be made without equally fighting for Indigenous sovereignty, and the struggles of Indigenous sovereignty and migrant justice, we feel, must go hand in hand in order to create true justice within this colonized land.
Cool. Did you want to give us like a bit of an explanation of who Alvaro is, like just about his history and stuff like that?
Yeah. Well, Alvaro's got a very unique story, but it's probably a really interesting story. But Alvaro left Nicaragua at the age of 12 years old. He fled Nicaragua because he was facing significant violence from his father, who declared that he would rather beat or kill a child of his if they ever turned out to be gay. Alvaro feared that because Nicaragua at the time had fairly regressive laws with respect to queer communities, that even at 12 years old, he felt that like it was safer for him to flee and run away and then stay. And so Alvaro actually traveled through Honduras and through Guatemala and Mexico, and eventually was detained in the United States, where he was detained for almost a year and finally gained release because of some advocacy from a religious organization there. He then heard word that he could claim refugee status in Canada on the basis of sexuality and gender identity. And so he fled to Canada in 2004 and applied for refugee status, and he's been here since. And Alvaro lost his case in 2007 when, via teleconference, the IRB member who was hearing his case said the infamous words that he didn't look gay enough. And since that time, he's been living underground. He faced deportation in 2007, in which the community mobilized to stop his deportation, or attempted to stop his deportation, and that failed, and he had to really then live since 2007 underground without any access to basic services, the types of things that people take for granted as residents here in Canada. And Alvaro, I mean, since that time, has done incredible work in the community. He's an incredible artist. He's won a number of different awards, including awards from the City of Toronto for his artwork, his work in the queer community, his work volunteering. And on last Friday, the 13th of all days, he was picked up by immigration enforcement. But prior to that, he was randomly ID'd by Toronto police, and that's where he was tipped off to immigration enforcement. And so Toronto police randomly stopped him at Ossington subway stop, asked him for papers. When he couldn't produce papers, they called immigration enforcement, who came in to pick him up. And he's been in detention and facing imminent deportation ever since.
I know one thing that we've heard through his campaign, or through the campaign for him, is that he's currently filing a humanitarian and compassionate application. Can you explain to our listeners what that is?
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, our refugee process here in Canada is a really difficult process to negotiate. According to the Immigration Refugee Protection Act, we actually we are supposed to have an appeals division in which, if you fail your refugee claim, you can appeal that claim. That has never been implemented, and under successive Liberal and Conservative governments, each Minister of Immigration has failed to do that. So really, once you fail your immigration and your refugee claim, you are essentially left with two options, one being a pre-removal risk assessment, which are generally unsuccessful and assess your risk of imminent danger if returned to the country of origin, and then the other is a process which is fairly expensive and time-consuming called the Humanitarian and Compassionate Appeal. The Humanitarian and Compassionate Application actually doesn't prevent you from being deported, but what it attempts to do is assess your establishment within the community in order to assess whether or not your removal from Canada would be essentially a huge loss to the community. So it's actually, there's not a lot humanitarian and compassionate about it. It's actually really a legal process in which showing your establishment, showing that you've done, you know, you've worked consistently, even if you don't have status, that you've, you know, contributed to the community, volunteered, done a whole bunch of other types of work, which fortunately, you know, Alvaro's done, but for many people, that's just, it's a huge burden and barrier, and I think the success rate, the last I heard, was around 3-5%. So it's very rare that people win that claim and appeal, and it's very rare that they do so before actually facing deportation. In the case of Alvaro, though, we got word in October of last year that a decision would be coming down on his HNC in April or May. And so we're at the end of May, and, you know, it seems sort of coincidental or not so coincidental that he was randomly ID'd and picked up just before that.
Do you think it's likely that he's going to be deported back to Nicaragua? And what are the risks if he is, or if he does?
Well, I mean, with any case, right, that we take up, Alvaro is not just, you know, member of the queer and arts community, but is somebody who's consistently advocated for the rights and for freedoms of people to move across borders, right? And so we feel, obviously, that, you know, the first risk is that, you know, he's been targeted, you know, because of his outspokenness with regard to undocumented people's rights. And we also feel that, you know, Alvaro, you know, he said this himself, you know, this isn't just about his case. There are thousands of people facing the exact same thing, and it's a systemic issue. So winning, you know, being able to stop his deportation or not, according to Alvaro, isn't the only goal, but rather we need to have systemic change. That being said, specifically, we feel like he does have a really strong humanitarian and compassionate application. You know, there is a really good chance that he is able to succeed in receiving that. And it would be really tragic if he was deported and then received humanitarian appeals and, you know, had to try and find his own way back to Canada on limited funds. Nicaragua, in terms of, I mean, his risk in Nicaragua, I mean, there's been significant positive change in the country with respect to queer and gay, lesbian, trans rights, at least legally, you know, and that's been actually since around 2007, 2008, when his case first really hit national headlines. Partly that has to do with sort of shift in political movements in Nicaragua. But also, you know, I mean, the real issue is that beyond legal changes, right, we all know that the law might be one thing, but, like, people's actions and, you know, what people face on the ground is a very different reality, and particularly for somebody who's been in the media spotlight. I'm certain, you know, I don't think Alvaro has spoken to his family, but I'm certain his family isn't too happy that their, you know, their son is being posted all over the news as, you know, an openly gay man. So, I mean, obviously there are, you know, he's nervous and he's apprehensive about the possibility of having to go back, particularly since, you know, Toronto is the place where he's lived his entire adult life. This is home to him. This is where his family is and his community is. And we all know, particularly in the queer community, that, like, you know, bloodlines doesn't necessarily, you know, define what a family is. And for us, we've built family and community here, and Alvaro's a part of it.
Did you want to talk a little bit about the conditions in the detention center that he's at right now?
Yeah, so, well, Alvaro's being held in the Rexdale Immigration Holding Center, which ironically is often nicknamed Heritage. And it used to be a converted motel that was transformed into a prison. And the government likes to talk about it as though it's as cushy as a motel. But in reality, you know, this is it's a very secure prison. You know, the only people who have been able to talk to Alvaro, like, face-to-face have been interviewers from the National Film Board who are doing a documentary. We actually have, you know, when we've gone to see him in detention, you know, it's through glass windows, talking on the phone, just like in prison. Most of the people in there are on 23-hour lockdown. Children and families are all kept in detention along with their parents. So there's babies and little children in there. Since the Conservatives have come into power, we've heard reports that, you know, the amount of people in detention centers, immigration detention, has increased precipitously. So it's really packed in there. But what's interesting, and, you know, and what really shows the type of person Alvaro is that since he's been in detention, he spent so much of his time, you know, really fighting and trying to connect other people who are facing deportation with legal support, community support, a whole bunch of other things, because, you know, while Alvaro's had, you know, the ability to build community here in Toronto, a lot of folks are sent straight to detention. So he spoke of one case of somebody who was coming from Libya on a student visa, and that the government didn't believe that his student visa was valid. And so he's been in detention right out of the airport. And as we all know, Libya's, you know, being bombed right now by Canada and the NATO countries. So it's not, you know, it's not coincidental that folks who are being displaced or who are coming here attempting to seek different opportunities other than the bombing and issues caused by NATO are now being targeted for detention as well. So Alvaro's been a really fierce advocate within the detention centers in terms of attempting to support people's cases. And that shows a lot about the type of society that Alvaro and the rest of the community that's mobilizing around him is seeking to build.